Hello, respected viewers. Here I am in the Guildhall of Leicester. This one, it dates to, is it 1390? Founded by some of the very affluent merchants. Well, what on earth is a guild? So guild is like, you know, trade union come professional association. And so there'd be like a butcher's guild, a baker's guild, or whatever, ironmonger's guild, a jeweler's guild, and so on. Barber's guild. And so they would regulate prices, standard of work, qualifications, and so forth. But they were also a charity. The charity was each other. They would pay into it. And if somebody was disabled or sick, they'd give them money to live off. If a man died, and only men were allowed to belong to the guild, they'd give some money to support his widow and his orphans. And the guild also had a religious aspect. To stay together, they'd pray together. So they'd meet, and there'd be a certain church which would be for their guild. Of course, they're patron saints of every trade and profession, and they'd pray together. So it normally takes 7 years apprenticeship to get into the guild. Okay, and producing a masterpiece, that's good enough. You'll be a full member of our guild. So paying for membership. All right, so, but this guild, as I say, was for wealthy businessmen. What else about coming to the guild? And obviously there had to be Christians, so Jews excluded. They were all Catholics in those days. Think of the Reformation in the 1530s, and only members of the Church of England could be members of it. Eventually it was open to all Christians, eventually it was open to people of all religions and none. But that's the guild hall, which then functions as the town hall from the 16th century and the mayor's parlour, a bit like his office or meeting room. Wow, and look at this. Very fine furniture, but don't touch it. You see that leather armchair? What's the dragon doing there? So various mayors or members of parliament who represented the city, Robert Hayrick, mayor of Leicester in the 16th century a few times, and indeed member of parliament. And look what it says up here. His picture whom you here see, when he is dead and rotten, by this shall he remembered be, when he should be forgotten. And look at his coat of arms, that medieval ruff around his neck. I suppose it kept them warm, lace, holding his gloves. I wonder why. And then it goes on, okay. And look at this special ceremonial chair, okay. And the royal coat of arms, Dieu et mon droit, the two supporters of the lion and the unicorn holding it up, redolent of that title of the essay by George Orwell. God on my right, then the garter, as in the lady's garter, keep her stocking up. On y soit qui mal y pense. And look at the harp of Ireland. Hurrah, Erin go brought. We got the lion's passant of England, the fleur de lis of France, and the lion rampant of Scotland, the crest, which is the knight's helmet with a lion above it. The crest is the top. People often wrongly think coat of arms is a crest. No, crest is the bit at the very top, like the crest of a hill. Okay. And this is William Hayrick, presumably related to that Robert Hayrick we saw, citizen and goldsmith of London. Citizen just wasn't anybody who was there, meant somebody of notable status. And look at the big fireplace. I wonder if they burn anything there still. Okay, and the handicrafts, wow, they don't make them like that anymore. See all the carved faces. I mean, it's incredible the work that went into that one. All that detail, not meant to look terribly realistic, and another coat of arms in the middle. Okay, look at this, probably used for oath-taking, as it says, and some stained glass windows, but without religious themes, coats of arms. I really like the wooden panelling, don't you? Okay, so that room was opened in 1563. We're not allowed to go upstairs. Georgius Tertius, as in King George III. Okay, formerly King of America, as it were. And this is the Great Hall, wooden-framed hall. So it was built over several centuries. Part of the windows are from 1390, and the bays brought in 1450. Okay, so various public meetings here. You can also hire it out for weddings. And another door to connect in there. Okay, not huge windows. Glass is very, very expensive. No double glazing in those days would make it cold. And look at this here, and a quotation from the Book of Psalms. The king's power that loveth judgment, thou hast prepared equity. Thou hast executed judgment and justice. Okay. Psalm 109, verse 4, and so on. Okay, and more. Look at the ermined robes of a peer of the realm. And another biblical quotation up here. God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. Ecclesiastes chapter 12. And another fireplace, because of course, no central heating. So this had fallen into disuse in the late 19th century. They reopened it for the public in 1926 after major restoration work. They used to put on plays here, things like that. It was unsuitable to function as a civic centre, so by 1876 there was a purpose-built town hall which still stands, and it's in the cathedral close, so they could worship there. So that is a guild, and there are all those livery companies in London which are versions of guilds. Guilds don't really exist. Recorder's bedroom. Recorder's like a low-level judge. Cherie Blair, as in Tony Blair's wife, Cherie Booth, she's one, but don't let that put you off. Not all that bad. So Recorder's was an office created by Edward IV in 1464. He's one of those Yorkist kings in the Wars of the Roses. Okay. Oh, yeah. Simon de Montfort, the Earl of Leicester, is quite important. That's why there's de Montfort University here. Well, I won't tell you all it says all about him here. So, slain at the Battle of Evesham. Evesham, not Evesham, I should say. Hello, you can see me, you lucky ducks. What on earth is this room here? Didn't go on the guided tour. Don't feel like it. And you see, a bit wonky, a bit bockety, some of the subsidence over the centuries. And I am liking all this handmade, many centuries old furniture. And down into contemporary Leicester, down into this little pedestrian seat. And just think how well made this was to last all these centuries. See the hand of work on that. Wow. The little rose. Reminds me, because I'm also talking about the Battle of Bosworth, for close here. There's Leicester Cathedral. Is the White Rose of York and the Red Rose of Lancashire, or Lancaster rather, were united in the Tudor Rose. When Henry VII, he married Elizabeth of York, the sister of the princess in the Tower. So therefore his descendants were both Lancastrians and Yorkists. Everybody's a winner, as in Henry VIII onwards. And look at this huge chest, 1647. So Prince Rupert of the Rhine, that's Charles I's nephew, he wanted Leicester to give him a lot of food and or whatever and money during the English Civil War, and the town council refused. They were deliberating here in the Guildhall, and he sacked the city because they wouldn't comply. He needed things. That's the English Civil War. 1642 to 1649. Okay, and look at that to hold up the roof, and these huge old books, some of the books of the Bible. Okay, I can hear the cathedral bell tolling, and look at the weather vane up there with that dragon up top, and there's some floors still not open to the public. Now perhaps that's enough for Leicester Guildhall function as a courthouse sometimes. There are even some cells down below. I don't know if it really functioned as a prison as well. So a feudal lord used to really rule this city. Hugh de Grandsmill was put in charge here by William the Conqueror in 1068, and that's why the king ordered the castle to be built. It's only in ruins now, and so on. Okay, so quite a significant city. I think that's enough. Thank you very much for coming with me on this little tour of Leicester Guildhall. Oh look, all these books by Calvinius in Latin, Jean Calvin, that Swiss Protestant divine who held court at Geneva, and Dun Scoti opera, the works of John the Scot, that Dark Ages Oxford philosopher, actually Irish despite the name, O'Alcuin. Wow. All these Latin tomes, I think not many people would dip into them. They were very, very expensive at the time. Reading how in modern terms a day labourer got £16 a day, as in barely enough to eat. I'll switch it off now.